Welcome to KRDO's Business Connection, featuring KRDO's advertisers and partners, the best of Colorado Springs businesses. Sunday mornings at 7 on KRDO News Radio 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, 92.5 FM, and streaming live at KRDO.com.
Welcome into KRDO's Business Connection. I'm Andrew Rogers, and joining me this morning on the KRDO Newsline is Eric Bidwell. He oversees the Adult Protective Service staff at the El Paso County Department of Human Services. And Eric, thank you so much for joining us this morning on KRDO News Radio.
Sure, no problem. It's my pleasure. Thank you.
And we know there's a lot of important things to get into. It's a very simple but yet a crucial thing to look into. We know June is a month where we're taking the opportunity to increase the awareness, especially of elder abuse and neglect. And really, it's so important to make sure that such a vulnerable subset of our community is well taken care of into their latter years.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, it is an important subject. At some point, all of us will be in that position. And, you know, as a society, as individuals, as a group, it's important for us to take care of our most vulnerable individuals from birth all the way up until, our last days. And I think that this is definitely a portion of the population that, unfortunately, sometimes gets overlooked.
Exactly. And we know the COVID-19 pandemic definitely didn't help things as well with that. We saw this really in almost all facets of things related to various abuse calls, is that the contact with a lot of the mandatory reporting agencies, people who could have that additional resource, just didn't happen right now. And that's led to more cases maybe falling through the cracks than otherwise would be found if it were a normal year where everyone wasn't locked in their home.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think one of the things that it's really relayed, and the elderly population in general have been some of the hardest hit individuals from the virus. And so because of that, and us, you know, as a society knowing that early on, it really isolated a lot of these individuals even more than perhaps they were isolated before. And that makes it so much more important that when we have those interactions with those individuals, that we're being in tune to what's happening, to changes maybe since the last time we saw this person or interacted with this person, because the reality is that we may be the only person that interacts or lays eyes on or has a conversation with this other person for, you know, 6 or 8 months it could be. And so it's just so important that we are aware and that we take the time to really observe what could potentially be going on.
Exactly. And when it comes to that, what are some things that people who may be untrained or somebody who might be having that interaction, what should they be on the lookout for that could potentially raise a red flag?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, realistically, it kind of depends. If it's an individual that a person is familiar with, anything that might seem outside of the ordinary, like maybe, I'm interacting with someone and now, you know, they're not able to maintain the conversation quite as well as they had before. Or maybe I go over to someone's home that I haven't seen in a long time and the home seems a bit more disheveled perhaps than it had in the past. Or maybe someone's contacting me and they're asking questions about banking or they're asking questions about finances that might, you know, lead me to believe that they're not certain what's going on with their resources or maybe, you know, understanding is something happening with their resources that they're not aware of, you know, all of those kinds of things. I think realistically, if it's someone that we know, just keeping an eye out for something that might be different or might be outside of the norm of what we know of this person. If it's someone we don't know, that you know, obviously makes it a little bit more challenging, but certainly simple things like, are they able to, you know, kind of maintain and when we look at them, is there something about them that might seem just off? And, you know, oftentimes it's just kind of that gut reaction or that kind of, you know, instinct that something might just seem off about the situation. You know, maybe we interact with an individual and they're with someone else and they seem super withdrawn or maybe even outwardly fearful of the other person they're with. It could present in a lot of different ways. But I think making sure that we're being aware and making sure that we're being observant to those things is really the crucial part.
Exactly. And Eric, we know this isn't a one-size-fits-all category. Obviously, there are so many variables, but by and large, who is the most at risk when it comes to elder abuse or neglect?
Yeah, and the reality is that we often hear, or the stereotype may be, that it's an individual who can't do things for themselves or maybe is kind of experiencing some cognitive decline. And although that is certainly a possibility, the reality is this could be happening to anyone. And, you know, we have situations where the individual is generally able to take care of themselves or generally able to kind of meet their own needs, but maybe someone's taking advantage of them. And, you know, that doesn't always appear as though on the surface something that we may be able to tell. But the reality is that anyone in this population could potentially be at risk of being harmed. And that's why it's important that through any of those interactions, we're being observant through those, because that is truly, it could be anyone. It could be someone that we would think, oh, there's no way, but it could be.
Exactly. And as we look at that, what are some ways that, you know, if we do see some of those early signs, maybe something just doesn't seem right or as it should, what some ways that we can help prevent these ongoing things from becoming catastrophic or even worse?
A lot of times it is just taking the time to interact with those individuals. You know, we as human beings, we may have family members, we may have friends, we may have neighbors. Really taking the time to kind of get to know them, be aware of their situation. You know, not necessarily being afraid to ask questions. Like, obviously, you know, we don't want to go up to someone we don't know and ask them about their finances, but certainly being aware of those around us and you know, asking them about their life, about their situation, you know, just through that natural interaction, oftentimes we can get information that we can then use to help them walk through that process and or help intervene on their behalf if that's necessary. A lot of prevention just comes through knowledge and understanding. And if we aren't interacting with these individuals, we're not going to know, and therefore we just can't help them prevent.
Exactly. And it doesn't take a lot just to help, you know, make a phone call, check in on somebody. But if you do have maybe some more elevated concerns, maybe it's a neighbor that you've noticed some very, very strange activity going on, what's the best way to report some concerns and get into the proper hands to make sure that that situation is rectified the best it can be?
Sure, absolutely. So it kind of depends on two factors. So if it's a concern or situation that involves another person taking advantage of or harming or exploiting an elderly individual, the best course of action is to report that information to the local law enforcement office. So whatever the jurisdiction is that the elderly individual lives in, it's an opportunity to connect with law enforcement there and say, here's my concern, here's what I noticed, here's what I think maybe just doesn't seem right. If it's potentially a situation where maybe it seems like the individual themselves are not able to meet their own needs potentially at the moment, like maybe as I said, the home conditions are concerning, or they just appear, you know, more disheveled or kind of unkempt than perhaps they have in the past, that would be to contact the Department of Human Services, the Adult Protective Service Unit, and that contact number is 719-444-5755, and that's going to get them through to someone who can kind of take that information and then, you know, determine if it's something we need to become involved with.
Exactly, and the good news is that there are a number of services provided through the county's Department of Human Services with that Adult Protection Unit to help provide those resources if they need to be in place.
Absolutely. Our first goal and our first hope is to be able to connect them with resources in the community that will help them meet needs. It may be just something as simple as connecting them with a service to help them get to the store, to get, you know, groceries and things like that. It may be that they need assistance with just kind of keeping the house clean or maintaining their yard or all those kinds of things. And those are all services that we have connections with at DHS that then we can connect the individual to help make sure that they can maintain the level of independence that they want for as long as possible.
Exactly. Again, if it is something, as you'd mentioned, if it's a major issue, if you're noticing some serious signs of abuse or hearing a potential fraud or anything, immediately call that local law enforcement agency. If you just have those other concerns, want to help connect with DHS or get some guidance on if you need to elevate it, again, that phone number to call is?
It's 719-444-5755.
Well, Eric Bidwell with the County's Department of Human Services and the Adult Protection Unit, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for helping to educate us about elder abuse and neglect, with June taking that opportunity to do so. And again, thank you for everything you do here in our community as well.
No problem. Thank you very much for having me.